Bible will be open when we get there. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Appreciate you being here today and looking forward to the Lord speaking with us. And I've been on a little series here lately. And basically, phrases that we've heard, I guess, through social media or just living in the world, maybe the world's grabbed a hold of, or maybe a certain group of the world's grabbed a hold of, and they just say it, and they say it, and they say it, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it. And the first one I preached on was, and of course I'm trying to title mine A Biblical View, because all these things are real, all these things are serious, things like that. I'm not saying that they don't exist, and things like that. We should just put our head in the sand. But what I'm saying is that a lot of these people that are saying these phrases over and over, my problem with it is that they exclude God out of the picture. And if we're going to make it through anything, we need to add God into the picture. Amen. And so, but the first one I preached on was A Biblical View on My Body, My Choice. And we've heard that over and over and over. And a certain crowd grabbed that and said, you know, I can abort my baby if I want to. And they use that. And then in our day and time, they're, you know, say, I can basically choose what I want to be and things like that. My body, my choice. We saw that it is not our body in the Bible because we are bought with a price. We are not our own. And we saw that we do have a free will, though. We can do with it what we want. There's consequences. So what we ought to do is add God into the equation and my body, my choice. Choose to be pure. Choose celibacy and choose, and you don't have to make some of those hard choices if you'll put God into your life. Then we talked about mental health. And again, I know that it's a for real thing. People struggle with that. And what I'm saying is that a lot of people, they exclude God out of it, and they say, okay, this is what you need to do. Kind of like the work salvation crowd. You know, in the Bible, they wanted to build a tower, the Tower of Babel. Let's build it all the way to heaven. We'll get to heaven on our own. We'll just exclude God. Same thing. People will say, well, let's just be good enough and we can get ourselves to heaven and we'll exclude God. Same thing here. If we turn over enough new leaves, or if we'll practice, if we'll meditate, we'll do this, we can fix all this. No, I'm saying if you're going to make it through mental health issues, you've got to have God to help. So today we're going to talk about, and again, you've probably heard this one over and over, just like you've heard My Body, My Choice, mental health. This one is Live Your Best Life. Live your best life. And again, I want you to live your best life. We're going to see, according to the Bible, God wants you to live your best life. We just don't want to exclude God from it, like a lot of these people have. And I'm going to read you 10 tips. If you Google 10 tips to how to live your best life. Again, some of them sound good. Some of them sound almost biblical. But what they're doing, they're just trying to ease God on around. That's what Satan did with Eve. Yea, hath God said? If you eat of this fruit, you won't surely die. You know, you'll just be like a God. Doesn't that sound awesome? Yeah, give me it. And so that's what these tips are. And I have 12 books, but I can't read most of them because they have a curse word in the name. And so I'm just going to, you know, again, I wouldn't even suggest reading it. But I'm going to read you the Google definition of live your best life, and then we're going to look at a biblical view this morning. Here's the definition of live your best life. Living your best life is essentially, or it essentially means living a life that makes you happy. Sounds good. God doesn't want you sad. The devil will tell you that. God wants you miserable. If you're right with God, or if you're a good Christian, you're going to be miserable. All right, but it says here, living your life that makes you happy, also one that allows you to be in full, or reach your full potential. That sounds good. God wants you to reach your full potential. It's about being intentional with the way you choose to live. And living life in your own terms. That also means living up to the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. So some of that sounds okay, some of that goes against my grain. But anyway, here's 10 tips of living your best life. Be intentional, we already had that. And here's where they get a little reimagine visualization. Okay? crystallize clarity through meditation. Release through journaling. See the world. Prioritize your health. Fall into the deepest love of self. Boost brain power. I could need help with that. But then practice yoga. And here's one. Be aware of ego, self-awareness. Again, some of those go directly against the Bible. That last one. be aware of ego, self-awareness. The Bible says, die to self. The exact opposite. And again, I would read you some of these books on how to live your best life now, but again, probably 7 of the 12 have curse words in them, but my point of the 12 books, the Bible's not mentioned. It's not. And again, that's my problem with it. I want you to live your best life. There's been people that have used that phrase and they've wrote books about it, good ones, and trying to help you. And so they, kind of like maybe taking a socialistic phrase and trying to put Bible with it. But we're going to look at a biblical viewpoint on living your best life, or as some say, you do you. All right, so let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I ask you to help us, Lord, to look what the Bible says. Lord, I know you don't want us sad. You don't want us miserable. You don't want us having heartache. The Bible says you gave life and you want us to have it more abundant. And so I believe that's the best life. And so I ask you to help us look at the Bible and see what the Bible says and endeavor to live our best life biblically. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to give you real quickly an introduction, and then we'll be in Acts here to start the main points. But this is what I want to, and I've already alluded to it. Obviously, Satan messed with Eve when she was told not to eat of the fruit, and he was trying to talk her into it. And so this is that's what he does. This is one of his, ways of trying to trick us. And so Satan is okay with you living life, Satan is okay with you not living a life that's pleasing to him, as long as you're not living life that's pleasing to God. And so we're going to look here in just a second that Satan, he has a ploy, and he has a game plan, and he's trying to work it as best he can. So Satan is a liar. We're going to look at him first. You don't have to turn here. I'm going to read you. But Satan, he's just a liar, and the Bible calls him that in John 8:44. It says here, ye are of your father, the devil, and lust, and the lust of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so if he can't just flat out lie to you and get you to do what he wants to do, he's okay with that. His next step is to try to get you to blend a lifestyle. A little bit of what he wants to do, a little bit of what you want to do. Oh yeah, we can do a little bit of what God wants to if we want to. And he's okay with that. Why? Because he's a liar. Because if he can't get you to just flat out do what he wants you to do by lying to you, he's going to try to confuse you. 1 Corinthians 14:33, the first part of it says here, for God is not the author of confusion. So if you're confused, it's not God. God says, thou shalt. God says, this is what I want. It's in the Bible. It's not confusing. And a lot of people, they say, when I read the Bible, it just confuses me. Again, that's not God. That's the devil. He's the author of confusion, not God. So God, if you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit will teach you what the Bible says. So anyway, God is not the author of confusion, so we know who he is. So he'll lie, flat out lie to you. If he can't get you to do that, he's going to try to confuse you. Then, we see here, he's very subtle with it. He is good at it. Some people are good at being a magician, sleight of hand, they're real good at it. Kyla showed me that she could make one penny jump from this pocket to this pocket, and she can. I mean, she can make it happen. And anyway, and I was like, wow. So anyway, people that do magic. There we go. I'm trying to say musicians. People that do magic, they're good at it. They're sleight of hand. So this is Satan. He will straight up lie to you, and he'll say, oh, I can't lie to that person. Then he'll try to confuse you, and some of it he gets you that way. But then he's like, hey, I can't lie to him, and I can't confuse him, so I'm going to have to be really subtle here. I'm going to have to go, I'm going to have to bring out the big guns. So Genesis 3:1 says here, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. So he brought out the big guns with Eve, because he couldn't lie to her. He couldn't confuse her, so he had to be very subtle. So we see three things here about Satan. He will flat out lie to you, tell you that you if you're going to live a Christian life, you're going to be miserable, you can't have fun, you're not going to be excited about it, it's going to be horrible. That's what he'll do. And some people, he's lied to them like that, so they don't want anything to do with Christianity. So then he will try to, if he can't get them to do that, he'll try to confuse them. Oh, it's just a dictatorship, or oh, it's a cult, or oh, it's this, that, and other. And he'll try to confuse people. Oh, well, who's telling me the truth? Yeah, because there's like, 2,000 different denominations out there. Who's right? Oh, yeah. And he's just confused. So that's what he'll do. Then it says here, he's very smooth with his phrases. Live your best life now. He will throw in enough truth and to make it sound good. And we read you some of those. So, Roman number one. God gives life and God gives life and the way of life. And I'll give you a couple verses and then we'll be in Acts here in just a second. So first thing I want us to realize is that God is the one that gives life and He also gives the way of life. And I'll give you 3 points here before we get to the Acts. God is the one who gives life, not Satan. So if you got to choose to say, I'm going to listen to God or I'm going to listen to Satan about living my best life, we ought to listen to the person that gave it, not the person that's trying to take it. Genesis 2:7 says this, and the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So, of course, this is the account of Adam. And God made him. And all of us obviously came from that time to now. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says God is the one that, and Job even gave an account of it. And Job 33:4 says this, and the Spirit of God hath made me. This is Job speaking. And the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. So Adam obviously realized that God gave him life. Job even realized it when it had to go through heartaches and so forth. And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because He's the one that made me. He's the one that gave me the life. He's the one that gave me the breath of life into my nostrils. So God gives life and the way of life, number one, because He gave life, not Satan. Number two, God is the one who wants us to have that abundant life, not Satan. Satan, he will tell you he wants you to live it up. He will tell you he wants you to have a great time. He will tell you, hey, it's your life, live, drink, eat, drink, meat, marry. That's what he'll tell you. But he wants to have you have a miserable life. He knows all those things. If you sow that, you're going to reap that. But John 10:10 says this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Talking about Satan, he wants to steal your life. I, this is God talking, am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So don't listen to the lie of Satan. Don't let him confuse you about that. Don't let him trick you about that. God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. God is the one who made us and made it possible for us to have eternal life, not Satan. So God gave life, not Satan. God wants you to have an abundant life, not Satan. And God wants you to have eternal life, not Satan. He wants you to have eternal death in hell. John 3:16, most of us can quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So number one, God gives life and the way of life. Number two, Satan gives an alternative way of life. Satan gives an alternative way of life. So if he can't get you again, just worship him, live like he wants you to do, he gives you an alternative. And there's all kinds of alternatives out there. He gives you alternative religion. He'll give you alternative Bibles. He will give you an alternative way of life. He will throw anything out there. And as a teenager, he had convinced me that if I wanted to have a good life, a happy life, a fun life, he had convinced me of these things that I'm fixing to share with you. They were the most important thing that I needed. Not God. Okay, God's God, He's there, He's big, He's all that stuff, and you can deal with Him at the end of your life. But as a teenager, this is what you need to have if you're going to have a fun life or if you're going to live your best life. And as a teenager, young teenager, probably 13, 14, this is what I sought for more than God, more than anything. And the first thing He convinced me of was popularity. Popularity. Because when I was in kindergarten all the way through elementary, the first 2 or 3 years of it, back in my day, this is a long time ago, I know, but everybody pretty much treated you the same. Everybody, they things like that. But then that popularity thing started popping its head up in upper elementary, junior high, and high school. You had to be a part of that popular crowd or you weren't going to have a life. You were going to be bullied. You were going to be made fun of, things like that. So you've got to be popular. This is what you have to seek. For you to have your best life, you've got to be popular. And, I tried. I got the cool clothes. I got the cool hairdo. I actually had hair back then that I could do. All right, I had the clothes. I had the hair. I had the lingo. I had the ability of sports. I had things like that. And I was like, I got to be popular. That's what's going to make me happy. And so hitting the home run or telling the joke or making fun of the teacher in school, that was my life. That's what I wanted more than anything. And I had to be popular. And I had to have those friends. You're not going to have your best life if you don't have friends. And so the devil told me to be popular. Do stupid stuff. Make fun of people. Things like that. Then people, you got to have this and you got to have that to have friends. So my life was popularity. My life was friends. And then, of course, to have friends, you got to have things. And it worked. I had a motorcycle, so I had some friends. Hey, can I come over and ride your motorcycle? You ever ridden one? Nope. Mm-mm. I had a horse. Hey, can I come over and ride your horse? You ever ridden one? I had things. So Satan had me convinced as a young teenager, popularity is what's going to make your best life. Having friends is what's going to make your best life. Having things is what's going to make your best life. And then it came down to, you start and get older, you got to start heading in a direction. What's going to make you happy? Hey, you probably could make it if you put all your efforts into baseball. Forget football, forget basketball. Put all your efforts in baseball. You probably could go a long ways. That's what's going to make me the best life. But I found out getting these things sucked the life out of me. To be popular, I made it. But you have to keep it up. So everything in your life is put into being popular. I got the friends. But I had to keep all the things and do all the funny stuff and things like that to keep my friends. We saw in the Bible the prodigal son. He left, had lots of coin. As soon as that was gone, where'd the friends go? So all these things were sucking the life out of me, trying to keep them. And the devil said, this is your best life. You got to be popular. Got to have some friends. Got to have some stuff. You got to do your own thing. So sports, go for it. You can do it. And they became my life. And then when I finally realized that, I probably wasn't going to go with the sports thing, the devil told me I could be a game warden. Why? Because I like to hunt. And I like to fish. So I figured if I was going to be watching these woods, keeping bad people out, I could be in the woods. Or I could watch this lake and keep the bad people out, I could be fishing. That's my best life. So even when I realized that popularity, friends, and all that stuff is not really life, it's just stuff, what I wanted to do was to make me happy. And all this brought pleasure. But let me read you a verse. Hebrews 11:25. Choosing, it's your choice, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. All those things that brought my flesh and me good feelings and things like that was just pleasure for a little while. It all leaves. So the devil will lie to you, he will confuse you, or he'll be conniving and try to do this. So sometimes, some things aren't very pleasurable, but they're the best thing for you. The devil says, if it don't bring pleasure, you ought not do it. It's kind of like this. You need open heart surgery. That doesn't sound pleasurable. But if it's the best thing for you, sign me up. But the devil said, you don't surgery. You're a man. You're tough. Yeah, you don't tough out bypasses. You don't tough out things. If you need it, it's not pleasurable. I don't like hospitals. They smell. All right. People die there. I don't like them. And praise the Lord, I've been there when I was born. Been there to get a cast on this arm. Been there to deliver this kidney stone. That's it. 3 times. And so forth. So I want to stay away from them as long as I can. But if I need it, it doesn't sound pleasurable, but it's the best thing for my life. I'll take the surgery. School was not pleasurable for me. All right? The only thing I liked for school was lunch, sports, and girls. All right? That was it. None of that other stuff was very pleasurable. But I can talk. I can read, I can add, I can figure my way out in this, geography here. So school helped me, even though it wasn't very pleasurable. Being in the safest place possible, it brings pleasure, prolongs your life. And again, I've told you a bunch of redneck stories, you know, famous last words of a redneck. Hey, y'all watch this. All right. So sometimes being in the safest place possible is the best thing for your life. That's what the devil tried to talk Jesus is. Oh, just throw yourself off this pinnacle. I've been thrown off some pinnacles. I mean, not thrown off, I've jumped off some. Not very smart. But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes the safest place will bring you more pleasure in your life. Suffering, not pleasurable, but sometimes results in the best thing for your life. That's what Jesus did. He suffered. He gave His life. It's going to bring us eternal life. When we go through something and Jesus helps us through it, then we can help somebody else. So that suffering, not pleasurable, but it's equipped you to be able to help somebody else. Best thing for your life. And again, I'm just throw you some Bible here before we get to Acts. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life, this is Bible. This is not the devil saying live your best life. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life, found that popularity, found the friends, found the things, found what I wanted to do. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And I showed you that. Getting it, you got to keep it up. So you lost your life. Now the popularity owns it. The friends own it. The stuff owns it. Well, he that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life, whatever God wants me to do, whatever God's will is for my life, says he that loses his life shall find it. I love baseball. But I'd rather be standing right here than by any plate in the world. I like watching it. It looks cool to me. But I would have lost my life if I tried to do that. Because I'd have had to keep it up. No telling where I would have had to go. All the things I'd had to do to keep it up. But I lost my life at 17 and said, whatever God wants me to do. And I found it. I'm doing God's will. So, living your best life, don't listen to Satan. So he that finds popularity, now popularity owns him. He that findeth friends, now the friends own him. The stuff owns him. But if we lose our life for Christ's sake, Matthew 10:42 says this, and whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, one of the cup of cold water, only in the name of my disciples, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. So those people that want popularity, they find out, according to the Bible, that's their reward. He that wants friends, they find out, that's their reward. He that wants stuff, that's their reward. But if you'll lose your life and serve God with it, you should not lose your reward when you get to heaven. Matthew 16:25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. So, if Satan can't get you to live the life that he wants you to live, he'll try to get you to live a life that you want to live. Just don't live a life that God wants you to live. And here's some ways that Satan will do this. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth, in other words, you're a soldier of Christ, you're in the Christianity, you're living it, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. So what Satan wants to do is, all right, this guy, he's lost his life for God's sake, so he's going to find it. So what can I do? I got to get down there and entangle him with stuff. There's some people that say, I want to serve God, but they can't because. I want to live for God, but they can't because all this entanglement. That's one way he'll try. He'll try to entangle you. So God gives you life in the way of life. Satan gives you that alternative life. I'll read one more verse and then we'll get to number 3. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. In other words, get unentangled. Lay aside every weight and that sin which does so easily beset you, and run your race that is set before us. Why? So we see, number one, living our best life. God gives us life and the way of life. Satan gives us an alternative life. Just live whatever you want to do. Here's number 3. We must choose the right way of life. We must choose. So it's up to us. So I've shown you. God has life for you and wants you to have an abundant life. Satan has that alternative life. Which one are you going to choose? Why should we choose the right one? Number one, because there's a crown to be won. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So here's that alternate life. This is what you got to have. Live it up. Blessed is the man that endureth that temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to him that love him. So why should I choose the right life? Because one day you're going to receive a crown of life. Number two, why should I choose the right life? Because life is short. I was talking about being 13 and 14. It seems like it was yesterday. Right? But now I'm 55. Boom, just like that. Life is short. James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. That's why Satan will say, oh, just, you know, you can serve God one day. Just put that over there. Live it up. And one day it will come and be gone just like that. Your life is a vapor. Why should we make the right choice to live our best life now? Number one, because we'll have a crown of life one day if we live right. Number two, because life is short. Number three, because there is an account to be given. There is an account to be given. So the day that you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, any sin that you've committed from that day backwards is under the blood, the Bible says. Never to be brought up again. In the sea of forgetfulness, far as the east is from west, behind the back, never to be brought up again. So that's not what you're going to be in judgment for. But whatever you do from that day till you stand before Jesus Christ, sins can be put under the blood by confessing them. But you're going to give an account for what you've done from that day forward. Romans 14:12. So then, every one of us, not collectively, not Lighthouse Baptist Church, not any other church in the world, but every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So why should we choose the right kind of life? Because it's the only way to be Jesus' disciple. It's the only way to be Jesus' disciple. Luke 14:26. Just reading the Bible, we're looking at a Bible view of our best life. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Now the Satan will take that and say, that's confusing. You're supposed to hate your dad. You're supposed to hate your mom. You're supposed to hate your wife. You're supposed to hate your brother, your sister. It depends on how they treat you. But anyway, I'm just kidding. It says here, if you don't hate them and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. What this verse is basically meaning is that our love in comparison to our love for God, to anybody else, should be almost like hate. That's how much we should love God. And so God wants us to be strong and to live our life. And so our love for Him should have no comparison to anybody else. Number five, why should we choose the best life? Because Satan's choice is pleasure for a season. We've already read that verse. But God's choice is pleasure forevermore. I'm going to read those two verses. Hebrews 11:25, already read it. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Listen to this verse. Psalm 16:11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. God will show you the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures, plural, forevermore. So that's the end of the two choices. If I choose Satan's lifestyle or even my own lifestyle, there's pleasure in sin for a season. In other words, if I'd have chose baseball, there would have been some pleasures in that. Hey, we would have won some games, I'd have done some things, and there would have been pleasure in that. But when I stood before God one day, all that pleasure would have been over. And now I'll be disappointed. But if I chose God's lifestyle, it says here, He'll show me the path in the presence of fullness of joy. And there will be pleasures forevermore. So Satan, he's a better convincer than I am. I've been trying this morning to convince you to choose God's way of life. That's your best life. Choose God's. Satan can out-convince me. So you can walk out of here and like, that preacher was off his rocker. You know, he didn't do a very good job trying to convince me. All he did was read some verses. And Satan would say, oh man, look at this life. Oh yeah. I'm telling you right now, he's better than me. Hey, he can convince you better than me that his way of life is more important than what that old guy up there was ranting and raving about. So I concede. I can't do it. I've been trying. You know, if you choose this, this is what the Bible says. If you'll choose this, it'll be awesome. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. But then Satan, with his subtleness, comes in. Woof! He probably has screens and lights and, you know, fog machines. Whoa, dude, this life is where it needs to be. Oh, yeah. And he'd blow me out of the water. But God, in His way of life, is a better convincer than Satan. Why? Because Satan had convinced me that popularity and friends and stuff and sports, that's the life. But I chose to suffer affliction. Where are you going? You quitting the team? What's wrong with you, you sissy? You scared? I got all that when I left public school and left the sports. Oh, you can't do that Christian thing. You've lost it. You're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You're done. I suffered some affliction. But I can tell you from 17 to 55, joy, 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 joy. So Satan tried to convince me. Others tried to convince me. But when I found the life, the best life, that convinced me. So God is saying here that my way of life, if you'll ever get it, it'll convince you. It'll outdo Satan. So if God can find the way of life, it'll convince you better than me or Satan. So number one, we saw God gives life and the way of life. Number two, we saw that Satan gives that alternative way of life. Number three, we saw you've got to choose the right way of life. And number four, and finally, let God show you that way. Now we're in Acts 2. Acts 2. This is Peter. I'm going to give you the context here. This is Peter preaching. And he uses David, obviously King David, the one that killed the Goliath and the lion and the bear and all that stuff. So he's preaching about David. And that's where we are in this context. We're looking at verse 25. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. And this is what Peter's doing. He's doing what I just did. He's like, hey, I'm trying to convince you that God's way is better. David's trying to convince you that God's way is better. But if you'll ever find God's way will convince you that God's way is way better. That's basically what he's saying in a nutshell. So in verse 25 it says, for David, this is Peter speaking, but he said, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice. Can't add up. Those friends can't add up. Those pleasures can't add up. That popularity can't add up. Because my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh also rested in hope. This is my best life, being right with God, doing what God wanted me to do. Verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. He saved me. I don't have to go to hell. That's where Satan wants me to come. So just hang him. Neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. In other words, God's got me. He's got my back. He's got me in His hand. He's going to take care of me. Verse 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. That word countenance there obviously is facial expression. And when you walked into the house and your mom had a certain facial expression on, you knew you were in trouble. All right, you're like, oh, what did I do? Or you saw your mom with that smile, everything's good. So that's what the Bible's saying here. David's saying, when I chose against Bathsheba and against killing her husband and against living wickedly, I got right with God. I wept on my bed. I became that man after God's own heart again. I found life. Hey, I thought life was in committing adultery. Found out it wasn't. I thought life was in doing what I wanted to do. I found out it wasn't. I got right with God and begged and pleaded for His forgiveness. He gave it to me, and life is awesome. That's what He's saying. And so he was convinced. So verse 28 says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou set me full of joy with thy countenance. God's pleased with me, His smile, His favor. So Peter was preaching, and he said, and he read about David. So what? I'm going to read you this. It says here, he was saying David found the ways of life, and he was right. But don't let that convince you. He said, I am saying that David found the ways of life, and I, Peter, found the ways of life. And we are right. But I'm not going to stop right there. I want you to know that David found the way of life, Peter found the way of life, This person that's preaching to you today has found the way of life. The reason that David preached it, the reason Peter preached it, and the reason I'm trying my best to preach it today is why I want you to find the way of life. Because then you can be convinced. Don't listen to Satan. Let the way of life, your best life now, convince you this is the way. Walk ye in it. God will bless you. And then that way, your kids will hear that. And then that way, when you're old like me and you got seven of those little grandkids, they're awesome. I've heard preachers say it all my life. If I knew grandkids were so much fun, I'd have had them first. I get it. It's awesome because we can see them, play with them, ha ha ha, and then they go home. All right? It's a blessing. But the way of life. And so, but I want those kids. I pray for them all the time because they're all five and under. None of them saved yet. And Satan's going to try to convince them, don't get saved. But if they could just get saved and they could have that feeling, knowing that I'm going to heaven, it'll outdo anything Satan can tempt them with. And then I want them to say, hey, if I'll just give my life to the Lord, you know, if I find my life, I'm going to lose it. But if I'll just lose my life, say, God, whatever you want me to do, woo, that's the way of life. And I want my grandkids to have that. David had it. Peter had it. I've got it. Not because of me, but because of God. My kids have it. Hopefully my grandkids will have it. So the ways of life. We're going to read a couple more verses and we'll be through. The ways of life. A, it starts with Jesus. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and you can all finish it, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the way of life doesn't start with popularity. It doesn't start with friends. It doesn't start with stuff. It doesn't start with you choosing your career. It starts with Jesus. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life? Who is our life? So it starts with Christ. Number two, it continues with several what I call enhancement verses. It continues with what I call several enhancement verses found in the Bible. Let's look at Proverbs. I want to show you a couple of them and then I'll read you a couple of them. Proverbs chapter 4. Let's just flip over there real quick. I want you to see it. The Bible talks about it all through it from cover to cover. This is the way of life. This is the way of life. All these verses I'm going to read you here in just a second quickly has the word life in it and what I call enhancements. Jesus, it starts with Jesus. You find Him, you found life. But there's so much more to it. Proverbs 4:20 says, My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Verse 22, For they, talking about the words of this book, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so that life, that if you could ever find it, being saved, it'll prove itself to you. It'll prove to you that the devil was lying to you. That, you know, oh, you won't be able to have any fun if you get saved. You'll have to. You can't keep it. You don't have to keep it. God will keep it. But you find it, it'll be there. And then you start reading the Bible, and that's what he was saying here, Solomon was saying, if you find these ways, keep them. They're going to be the way of life, the issues of life. And I'll read you Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, just over a page if you want to look there. It says, My son, forget not my law, talking about the Bible, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace they shall add unto thee. So we see that reading the Bible and the truths of the Bible, all it does is enhance that life, that best life. So being saved, being right with God, having chosen the right life and that relationship with Jesus, we can learn the ways of life in the Bible. Each of these verses has the word life in it. Genesis 32:30 says this, And Jacob called on the name of the place, Peniel. This is where he wrestled all night long and he got right with the Lord. For he had seen God face to face and my life is preserved. So your life will be preserved if you get saved. Your life will be preserved if you surrender and say, Lord, I don't want to find my life. I want to lose it for your sake. And then you take steps to grow. You'll realize that my life was preserved from hell. My life was preserved from hardship. The way of the transgressor is hard. My life is preserved from failure in my Christian life. I'm going to read you these real fast. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, in His favor is life. Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life. Proverbs 13:3 says, keeping my mouth is the way of life. Proverbs 14:30 says, having a sound heart is life. Proverbs 16:22 says, having understanding is life. Romans 8:6 says, having a spiritual mind is life. Proverbs 8:35 says, finding wisdom is life. Proverbs 10:17 says, keeping instruction is life. Proverbs 10:16 says, laboring in righteousness is life. Proverbs 19:22 says, fearing the Lord is life. Proverbs 21:21 says, following mercy is life. Proverbs 4:23 says, keeping my heart is life. So, it starts with Jesus, but it can be enhanced with the Bible. And number three, it helps to be in church. It helps to be in church. I'm talking about your best life. Your best life, find Jesus. Your best life, read the Bible. Your best life, stay in church. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 23:6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we all know that part. But listen to what the rest of it says. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There wasn't even a thought in my mind of not being here this morning. I'm going to church the rest of my life. Every Sunday morning. Every Sunday night. Every Wednesday night. And every Monday and Tuesday of revival. It's just made up in my mind. Why? Because surely goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. I've found the best life now, and I'm going to stay in church forever. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in His temple. So I know this is the best place to be. In God's house, hearing God. Why? Because I can see the beauty of His handiwork. I can see His helping me solve problems, and then I can also inquire in His temple. This morning before Sunday school, we took time to inquire and praise the Lord for that opportunity. So my best life, living my best life, the biblical view is, here on earth, have that abundant life that God has for you. But our best life will be eternal life. Eternal life. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 John 5:13. These things, talk about the words of that book. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So the people that believe that Jesus was God's Son, that book was written to us. Why? That ye may know that you have eternal life. There's a lot of baseball players saying, I want to hit this home run today. But in the back of their mind, they're like, am I going to go to heaven or am I going to go to hell? I know where I'm going. There's a lot of people that make a tackle today and stand up and do some type of whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. All right, slap their head, bump their friend's chest. But when they go to sleep tonight, they'll probably say, am I going to go to heaven or am I going to go to hell? I don't know that. I do. I'll take my life over theirs any day. This is the best life is eternal life. And then the last verse, Matthew 7:14, listen to this one. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. There's a whole lot of people, because of the convincing power of Satan, they're going to think the best life is popularity, friends, money, doing their own thing. But a few people will find out by experiencing it, the devil's a liar. He's trying to confuse me. God wants me to have abundant life down here, but He wants me to have everlasting life up there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. We're not going to go to hell, but have everlasting life. So it's not God's will that any should perish. So don't listen to Satan. Lie. Don't let him confuse you. Listen to God. And you can find the way of life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. Brother Derek, Miss Tiffany is going to come and play an invitation. First of all, don't let Satan lie to you. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, experience it and you'll know Satan was a liar. You can know that you know that you know. If you die, you can go to heaven. If you don't know that, come. I'll show you from the Bible. I'll meet you down here. Then, if you're looking for that abundant life, don't look where Satan wants you to look. Look where God wants you to look. Right there.